Science Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Science Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is December 21st, 2017. The world is in turmoil. Most just still don't realize it, but we are in that time of the end. Look around you. It's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Hear the sound of the shofar. Heed the warning. Get right now before it's too late. Please make this choice tonight. If you haven't accepted Yeshua into your life, if you haven't got a personal relationship going, you need to do that immediately. Time is short, and meaning you could step out in front of a bus, a train, anything could happen to you, and then it's too late. So you need to do it now. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, number, prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, 620-878-4682. Now look, you can always find updates with the breaking news, the Wichita Mission Church radio program archives, contact information, all of this in our ministry hub, which very simply, prophecyhour.com. Now remember, we are a national satellite radio program which is simulcast live on the net internationally, live on YouTube, and on some FM stations. So please pray about supporting airtime. On another note, I want to thank our listener bases worldwide in places like Latika, Syria, Espoo, Finland, Winnipeg, Canada, Dublin, Ireland, and Hyderabad, India. And of course, places in the good old United States such as Austin, Texas, Oakland, California, New Orleans, Louisiana, Boston, Massachusetts, Washington, D.C., and of course, these are just to name a few, of course. We still have Wichita, Kansas, remains the largest group of listeners to our radio programs, at least when they go to podcasts later on tonight. And Washington, D.C., guess what? It's just right down there behind them. I guess maybe the CIA and all them people up there wondering, their deep states up there listening to us. Okay, now prayer, jokes aside. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I just pray. I pray for the repentance of this nation is what I pray for, Father. I pray for the things that are terrible things that are coming upon the earth, but we know those are birth pains, Father. So we just ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that you might find us worthy to escape all these things. I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not ours. And please give everyone out there ears in which to hear and understand the truth. So please, Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, bless this program tonight. Amen and amen. Well, we've been talking a lot with Steve Henderson, but when don't we? At least once a month. But he's been talking with us for a few years now. But recently he was talking, he was making some clarifications over the vision in Daniel about the ram and the goat. Well, then I was asked by people, they said, hey, is there going to be a follow-up to that program? Now, I usually wait 30 days before having him on so I don't overwhelm you guys with such a great audience, you know, so quickly together. But anyway, so I asked Steve to come back on or ask him if there was going to be a follow-up. And guess what? Yep, he's right here tonight for a follow-up to that important prophecy he was telling us about. If you don't know who Steve is, Steve has served the ministry the last 30 years as a pastor, evangelist, equipper in the ministry. In the last several years, Steve's been called into the arena of teaching prophecy. His ministry is called The Sure Word of Prophecy, and he hopes to help believers understand the Bible, and he helps to bring others, the unbelievers, to Yeshua. It's his vision to share the prophetic word of the Bible with scoffers, agnostics, atheists. You know, he's picking out the hardest guys to talk to. Anyway, Steve's got a great ministry. You can find it at Sure Word Prophecy. SureWordProphecy.org. That's SureWordProphecy.org. And now, let's just welcome Steve. Are you there with me, Steve?
A big howdy from Oklahoma, Pastor Dan. Happy first day of winter.
First day, is that what it is?
Yes, sir, the 21st. 70 degrees mm-hmm. down here in Oklahoma, by the way.
How much?
70.
70?
Hallelujah.
Wait a minute, that ain't right. The temperature dropped outside, it's below 32 degrees, it's cold out here and it's cloudy. And it's a mess. It started off with the day, it wasn't too bad, but man, just about an hour before dark, it just dropped dramatically. Well, I like Oklahoma. I get a bunch of your earthquakes all the time.
Yeah, we get more than California nowadays. Well, everything's turned upside down, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Just like this old world. And that's the best way to say it. This world is so... Hey, the word said it was going to do some strange things, but yeah, it is upside down. I don't understand where... Even what really drives me crazy, it isn't so much all the evildoers out there that are running around nuts and really don't realize what they're doing except they're doing anything they want to bring them pleasure, but it's the behavior of those that claim that they are saved that are being acceptance and in silence. That's the one that baffles me.
Yes, unfortunately, the salt has lost its flavor, and we wonder why we have a hard time bringing anybody to Yeshua nowadays by the witness we put out there on our television and the appeals for $65 million jet planes and things of that sort in the church. You know, it's ridiculous.
Isn't that craziness? If the church did what they were, think about this. Think what some of those guys could do. All that money that they're storing up, but if they could turn around and actually use that for evangelism in the streets, you know what I'm saying? Or and feeding and caring for the poor and the hungry and all those things that even that the early church did, it would just boom. It would make our revival explode across this country because of it. Back to you.
Yes, sir. Well, don't get me started in that area. We could go on the program and we'll lose sight of what I want to do as far as the second part of the program.
Yeah.
I'm really passionate about calling out these type people, but anyway.
I don't want to distract you from that because, you know, in fact, that's what brought it to light. You know, I had to say, hey, is he going to do a follow-up to it? I thought, well, what we did was a follow-up to the other one. So it doesn't matter. They want to hear more about it. And I think you did kind of run out of time, didn't you?
Yes, sir. And, you know, viewing today's news in the last couple of weeks drives me even to a deeper conviction on how incredibly important that what I'm ready to share out of the Book of Daniel really is. I just saw a headline today, the Trump administration is putting the U.S. on a path to war with Iran. And I think it's high time we take a good look at this vision and maybe get through it tonight. I hope to get through it in most part tonight, brother. So
okay.
You know, I took considerable time to lay out an overview last week and determine what we ought to be looking for. And typically it's my custom when I share something in more than one part, as you're aware, the next time around, I go back and review what I taught the first time, and then time's used up, and then I never get to the ultimate destination. So I always wind up a few miles short of where I want to go. I have quite a bit of information to share tonight, brother.
Well, by all means, go ahead, and I'll try and keep my interruptions to a minimum. So let's hear it. I can't wait.
Okay, so... very briefly tonight, brother, I'd like to quickly highlight a few important markers about the Ram of Goat as we start off from the last time. And if those who didn't hear the first presentation, I would highly recommend them to go back and check the program out because it's going to help them to get the full picture here because I'm not going to try to do too much review. But in our previous program, we learned that in Daniel 8, it begins with a war and starts in the Middle East between two specific entities. The first vision first introduces an obnoxious, aggressive ram, and we're not left in the dark here about who this ram is. After receiving the troubling vision, the angel Gabriel was commanded to give meaning to the prophet Daniel, so he clearly identifies the ram as a Medes and Persians. And by the way, it's also imperative to recognize the exact location where this vision starts in this prophecy. It helps us to determine where the conflict originates from. The ram is standing at the ancient river Ulai, and the river is found at the confluence of the Euphrates and Tigris River, very near to the Persian Gulf at the border of Iraq and Iran. Now, at the time Daniel was receiving the vision, the Medes had came down east of the Tigris and came down into Babylon and overtook Babylon. In fact, Darius the Mede had succeeded them. And so when Gabriel gave the interpretation that the ram is the kings of the Medes and Persians, if we were to take that where Gabriel put it at that time, at the end of time, we would recognize that would be the modern-day Iraq in most parts. One more point, Iran has always been known as the Persians, and the ram had two horns. The prophecy indicated that there is a first horn involved with a conflict, and then a higher horn moves in after the mess starts. And obviously one country is a focus of attention, and then the other stronger country jumps into the conflict, and then all heck breaks loose. The ram begins to extend beyond its borders, stretching to the north, to the south, and westward. It's going into different territories, into different countries. And apparently, many in the Middle East try to stand up against them, but no one can stop this ram as it becomes strong and in a strong regional power, and it seemed to do what it wanted, and it became powerful. Now, at some time, and by the way, Gabriel calls it the appointed time of the end, an angry goat enters the arena of this warring ram, and a prophet seems to put special emphasis on the great or notable horn on the goat's forehead. Last time we spoke, Pastor Dan, the goat was identified as the angel Gabriel spoke that it was a kingdom of Greece. Now, I'm absolutely convinced that the word Greece can mislead the reader to the wrong conclusion when trying to place this vision where it almost every prophecy enthusiast does, which is back before Yeshua showed up, 300 years before that, in fact, which it was not the time of the end, no matter how you look at it. But Gabriel put this particular entity, and the King James translator puts it as Greece. Now, the word translated Greece in this passage is a Hebrew word, Yavan. And Yavan was a grandson of Noah, who migrated into the western territories known at that time as a people that inhabited the western world in Daniel's day. And it is attested that the descendants of Yavan spread across Macedonia, Greece, Kittim, and throughout the Mediterranean. And it's my understanding, that we get this all hung up in history because of the similarities in history of the Persian Empire being conquered by the mighty Macedonian military leader, Alexander the Great. And that's a fact of history. We understand that. And so, but we've kept it there. And most try to force the historical record to fit the prophecy in Daniel 8, which in my estimation does not fit the specifics of the prophecy. And there are a few reasons why this prophecy does not fit. Number one, geographically, the goat comes across the face of the whole earth from the west. Well, if you look at the geographical location, Alexander didn't come across the face of the whole earth from the west. He came to the west, but not the distance that the prophet describes. Secondly, on top of that, Daniel sees the goat coming from the air. It doesn't touch the ground. You know, it appears to me, brother, that this Daniel, prophet Daniel, saw the air travel here. And in a nominal odd interpretation and explanation concerning Alexander the Great in the fulfillment of this, they say, well, he was coming from the air, which was a metaphor for the swiftness of Alexander's conquest. Well, that sounds fine and dandy. And you know, Pastor Dan, it's easy to apply some allegorical concept to the prophecy and make it sound like some deep revelation, but, you know, being able to fit it and make it sound plausible is much more difficult to achieve. And for 25 centuries, no one has ever questioned the historical application of this. And we all know that there were no fighter jets back in that day, but I believe that Daniel saw this goat, angry goat, coming from the air. At the end, the book would become unsealed, and we would understand what this may mean. As for the large, prominent, notable horn on the goat's forehead, Gabriel defines the great horn as the first king. And here's another reason why I believe that it doesn't fit the prophecy. This is a very important point. Almost all the prophecy teachers point to Alexander the Great as the first king of Greece. But he wasn't. In fact, if you do just a little checking out history, his father Philip was. And Alexander Great was not the first king of Greece. History does not fit the prophecy. And you've heard the old adage, if it doesn't fit, don't force it. And, you know, I believe, brother, this especially applies to interpreting prophecy. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. You're showing me some things from an angle I haven't looked at yet. But it sounds very, I'll say, plausible. I mean, I'm technically right now, I'm going to agree with you, but I'm one of those guys, you know what I mean? I got to read and look at the study and blah, blah, blah. But it sounds like you're hitting it right on the mark.
Well, I tell you, brother, and I hope your listening audience along with you check me out and check me thoroughly out, okay? Because I check out people when they speak. And I do my homework, and I've done homework for around 30 years on the subject. And if it doesn't fit, don't force it. So if it doesn't fit, then you have to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what in the world is saying. If Gabriel put this at the end of time, God forbid that we put this back in 330 B.C., brother. That's all I got
to say. As to the time, and that's unshakable. I don't know why I didn't give any thought, but that's unshakable. He put the vision into the time of the end, and we weren't in the time of the end in Alexander's day before Christ.
No,
time of the end didn't come until after Christ.
2,300 years has passed, by the way. And, you know, as I shared with you last time, Pastor Dan, the Hebrew word first king, and the first king means first in positioning or place or authority. So this first king on the head of the goat is a number one kingdom, if you will. A great whore is a great nation in this. A number one kingdom that comes across the surface of the whole earth from the west. A nation that we're going to find out here that's identified with what is said in the scripture here in a second. At some point in time, the goat with the great nation leading the way comes from the west and battles with the growing regional superpower of an Iraq-Iran unity. And at that time, the goat will stomp the ram and hand these two countries a bitter, humbling defeat. Then Daniel's vision focuses on the great horn again. In verse 8 of chapter 8 of Daniel, the prophet says this, "The male goat grew very great." You know, brother, the Make America Great Again plan had been given even a greater place and respect on the world scene. But when he became strong, the large horn was broken, and in his place, it came up, four notable ones came up toward the four winds of heaven. Now, here's what Gabriel explained to Daniel about this in verse 22. He says this, "As for the broken horn and the four that stood up in his place, listen, four kingdoms shall arise out of that nation, but not with its power." Gabriel clearly states that the broken horn is a nation. It's a great nation. A great horn is a great nation. And to put it a little clearer, the great horn that broke into four kingdoms was the number one nation that stood out among the rest. Now, it's here we find some more horns entering into this prophecy, and we get kind of confused in the horn deal, but we start out with two horns on the ram, Iran and Iraq. A great horn on a goat breaks the two, and then eventually the great horn breaks also into four. Now, the breaking of the great nation affects the whole world because it says that when the great horn breaks, they will go up to four kingdoms, which will go to the four corners of the earth. And so I recognize that when this great nation breaks, it's going to affect the whole world. And when you begin to determine what these four kingdoms are, in Daniel chapter 7, as Daniel sees that first vision, he sees these four kingdoms coming up out of the sea, and as the winds are striving upon the great sea. Chronologically, brother, Daniel 8 comes before Daniel 7, and when that great horn breaks, then the four beasts come up out of the sea. And I'm putting this together quite quickly to you, but they head to the same conclusion. And what is the conclusion? Out of one of the four horns comes the arrival of one more horn. Now in this other little horn, this horn of the rise, as the great nation breaks, Daniel continues to see one more successor rise up, and this is described as a little horn. Now, the little horn comes to the forefront of the world scene and convinces the whole world that he is a most important figure, boasting that he has a plan to bring peace and prosperity back to a broken world. And here we find it in verse 9 through 11 of chapter 8, and I'll read it. And out of one of them, one of the four kingdoms, came forth a little horn which grew exceedingly great toward the south, the east, and toward the glorious land. And it grew up to the host of heaven. It cast out some of the stars and hosts of the ground and trampled them. He even exalted himself as high as the prince of the host, and by him the daily was taken away and the place of his sanctuary cast down. Now, brother, where all this leads in both Daniel 7 and Daniel 8 with these four kingdoms, out of one of the horns in Daniel 8 comes forth the little horn. Now, we understand that in Daniel 7, the little horn comes out of the fourth beast. So it's not hard to determine where it comes from. Now, ultimately, out of the ram and goat, it's an end-time war. And from there, it's a downhill run to Jerusalem, where this little horn will plant his tabernacle between the seas and the glorious holy mountain in the glorious land. And at that time, brother, Michael, the prince for your people, will stand up, and there will be a time of trouble such as never been since recorded in the history of the world. And at that time, Yahweh's people will be delivered, everyone found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. And at that time, those are going to be that are wise will shine as the brightness of the firmament and turn many into the throne of grace and mercy to accept the goodness of Yeshua at earth's darkest hours. And, but it, the Daniel's told, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. And then, at the time of the end, people will run back and forth in the book, and knowledge will increase. And so, brother, those who have examined Daniel in any depth recognize that some things that have just been hard to fit in the prophecies of Daniel, they just ignore it, even talking about it, because they don't take the time necessary to discover the light contained within the framework of the visions. They just ignore them. And I venture to say, in my scanning the teachers of the Bible, I don't hear many messages about Daniel outside, Daniel the lion's den, and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Mm-hmm. I hardly ever hear anything about the visions of Daniel. But at the end, the knowledge of these world words will increase, and then we start to proclaiming that the coming of Yeshua is near. How about that?
You're right about. I know people don't give the times. They seem to pass information, you know, impart from one down to the other until they get to the little horn. You know what I'm saying? Then they've got all kinds of wild ideas. But you have to break the information down. And that's what people need to do. You need to study. You need to break it down. You need to go to the website and watch it. And anyway, the reason I'm not getting real hard on it, we got less than a minute before break. That's what I'm trying to say. So give them your website, and we'll come back and talk.
Okay, sure. It's surewordprophecy.org. And by the way, on the 29th, which is here in about another week and a half, I will be doing a video presentation on this very subject and be posted on the website, so keep an eye on it.
Okay, hey, when you do that, let me know, and I'll advertise it for you. I'll also send it over to the pastor's page where they can find it easily. Folks, but listen, we'll hear Steve's still got another half hour to go, so we'll be back in 3 minutes. Pastor Dan Catlin, you're listening to Messiah's Man's Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network, and absolutely good place to be. Anyway, first off, shout out to my wife. Well, happy 32nd anniversary come the 23rd. Of course, I love you, and eternity under Yeshua. Anyway, Happy anniversary, Mom. Anyway, folks, support us so we can care for the people the Father sends us. You know, right now, in this time of year, we have an upsurge of people needing more help during the holiday season. But guess what? The donations go the other way. And I understand that because people are buying things for their family and all sorts of things. And even winter bills are higher priced. But we do really need your help. So please don't forget us. We really, really do need your help. It would be nice to be able to get everything paid up. So when we go into the secular new year, in a few days, that we're at least breaking even on the electric bill and so on and so forth. So pray about it. And yes, we have, covered radio airtime for this month, but pray about it. Next month's going to be here real quick. 9 days and the radio airtime due again. So pray about it. And folks, and we get no help from any organized churches or government agencies. We don't accept money from the government. It's only folks like you that supported us for our, the last 18 years that make the Mission Church work. Of course, folks, we minister to people in a part of town that most people won't even go through. In fact, Wichita has now been, it used to be Kansas City that got this, but now it's Wichita's the most dangerous city in Kansas. Well, anyway, so pray about it. And we are in one of the worst parts of town, but it's a place of peace in the midst of a huge bunch of turmoil. We are a safe place. We are a safe haven for a lot of people. So pray about helping. Even, and you know what we're seeing a lot of? We're seeing a lot, we see a lot of grandmothers that bring their grandchildren in because, you know, kids, even with a minimum wage job, are not able to keep a roof and food and everything in their bellies, or the mom or the grandmoms are having to babysit, and so they bring them down to our place to eat or look for clothes and so on and so forth. So pray about it, folks. We are the last hope for so many, and we're all responsible to care one for another as we are brothers keepers. All donations, no matter what size, helps. Even a dollar helps, and the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. If you don't wish to help with the poor, again, consider a donation for radio airtime, as it's not free, and donations keep us on the air. Now, also, I'll point out about radio, we're still in need of that over $300 sound card to get our real microphone back online and get away from this USB. But anyway, you can donate online or mail a check or money order, and you can find all the information at prophecyhour.com. And now, if you decided not to go back to Oklahoma, we got Steve Henderson on still with us. You still there, Steve?
Yes, sir, and I'd like to congratulate you on 32 years, man. That is so incredibly awesome, brother. Bless you. I know you've been blessed with a good woman, huh?
Yeah, amen. And, you know, I was so lucky I had her when I was in the world and we came out of the world together, which made that transition so much easier. And, you know, she's my other half. I couldn't be without her, and I thank the Lord every day for her.
Yes, sir. Well, I'm just very happy for you, brother. And may hope you'll enjoy all those coming years before the Lord comes, and that the Lord will bless you and your ministry with your wife. And I know she's a big part of that. So God bless
amen.
You, brother.
Thank you. I appreciate it. All right. Well, take us back into this important study. I can't wait
to
hear more.
Well, it's so obvious to me, mainly because I've had a different idea of this for a long time anyway, to know what I was looking for as, you know, on the world sign, there's an ever-growing intensity and anxiety pressing on our troubled world, brother, and, you know, what I see happening right now is two lines of prophetic fulfillment are converging together, one dealing with this ram and goat, and secondly, the other dealing with the issue of Jerusalem. Now, what I find is taking place is front and center is this place of territory called Iran in the news, and exactly how the prophecy says it would happen, it is coming to pass before our very eyes. Now, we recognize in the prophecy that one horn would be involved first, and I identified that horn a long time ago when I began to trace the Medes back to what where they would have been with Daniel. Was writing the book, and they had succeeded Babylon. I thought that when Iraq would come in the news, we ought to be paying attention. And we all know what happened there. When Iraq entered the limelight of world news, I really began to pay attention. And, you know, after all, this guy, Saddam Hussein, threatened Israel with chemical weapons. He sent Scud missiles in Israel in the first Iraq war. And when that happened, when the great nation led the way of a coalition from the West, you know, and they drove Saddam out in 1991, I really began to pay attention. And Saddam was sending 25,000 East suicide bomber who would blow up people there in Jerusalem. And this was a guy who put together a 6 million man army, a volunteer army called the Jerusalem Liberation Army, to remove Jews from the occupied Palestinian land. So I recognize that in the prophecies in with the Jewish prophets, when the Medes and Persians at the end of time will be mentioned, it would have some type of connection to what would be taking place in Israel, especially in the area of Jerusalem. And then on 9/11, this great nation tried to tie Saddam into an al-Qaeda connection, which eventually brought a coalition of countries from the West, led by the United States again, in 2003, brought him down and wound up getting executed and took him out of power. But that was just the start of another major player, which would emerge out of the ashes of this miserable war, and with an agenda of attacking U.S. troops in subversion. And at some point in time, after spending several trillion dollars for a war that couldn't be resolved, the U.S. left Iraq, and in its place, in the vacuum, came Iran front and center on the world stage. And at this time, the prophecy of Daniel 8 became very clear to me, and I began to put articles from the news which reported diplomats both from Iraq and Iran meeting to merge political, economic, and military unions with the aspirations of becoming a regional power and to promote peace and security out of a great mess over there. Now, I could go into a lot more detail with how that was put together, but I recognize in the prophecy that one horn would be the focus, and then another horn would also get involved, and then they would begin to extend their influences into different directions. And that is exactly what we are seeing today. In 2015, we'll move it up just to 2015, when ISIS became a major player and it overtaken, you know, a lot of Iraq and Syria predominantly, then Iran and Iraq became brothers together in the fight against ISIS. And underneath the surface, of course, we understand that Iran sent political figures, Shiite political figures, into the high places of the Iraqi government, and they became one. And then they began to start pushing, and now they are underneath the PMF, the Popular Mobilization Forces. It's a group of almost 40 militias that are put together that are mainly Shia Muslim groups that are actually extending their influences throughout the Middle East as we speak. And this is what I see taking place in the particular prophecy of Daniel 8. They would extend their influence, and then the rest of the countries will become very, very concerned about what this Ram is doing in their own country. And so what would just bring on this anger from the great nation to come across the surface of the whole earth with jet fighters to war with Iran and this Ram? Well, there are all kinds of different possibilities, brother, and every one of them could come to pass very, very quickly. Now, out of Fox News today, for example, I recognize that when this Ram got together with the two horns, and back in 1980 to 1988, Iran and Iraq were bitter enemies, and I thought at that time, there's just no way these two horns will ever get together. But today, in today's news, December 21st, 2017, here are the headlines. After ISIS campaign, Iran backs fighters in Iraq and vow to drive out U.S. troops. Now, there are several scenarios that I find in the world news right this minute that could actually bring on wrath from the West, especially the great nation that comes across the surface of the whole earth from the West, that would actually be in the place where they could quickly come over and deal with Iran. In fact, that they are in the crosshairs of the United States as we speak. Now, here's what this article says, and I'll read just a little bit of it if you let me. Now, it says here, ISIS campaign, Iran-backed fighters in Iraq vowed to drive out U.S. troops. Now that they've helped vanquish the Islamic State from much of Iraq, a battle-hardened militia with close ties to Iran may be training its sights on the remaining U.S.-led coalition troops scattered across the country. At least that's the thinking of some of the ranks in the Popular Mobilization Forces, roughly 100,000-member force that has fought both with and against Americans in Iraq. One of the fighters says America should be here for an embassy, but any military presence here, we will target them. They are threatening the American troops that if you continue to stay here, you can hang in here with the embassy, but now we want you out of Iraq. And if you don't leave, then we are going to take you out. That's what they're saying. And Ali is just one of the thousands of the PMF members who took advantage of Iran-supplied weapons and ammunition to take the lives of hundreds of U.S. troops during the insurgency that followed the invasion of Iraq. They were actually attacking troops within Iraq as the conflict was going on. And last month, CIA Chief Michael Pompeo revealed that he sent a letter to the Iranian Major General Qassem Soleimani warning that the forces under Iran's tutelage may attack U.S. troops. Pompeo also added that the U.S. would hold him and his country accountable for any attacks on American interests. And then, the article says, now that ISIS is not much of a threat, the PMF is likely to plan attacks against U.S. personnel in Iraq that would be carried out as soon as Tehran gives the orders. Now, this is a major concern, given the tensions between Iran and the U.S. are likely to grow in the future. So one of the ways that could very well spark off a imminent war, which is, it's not a matter of if, brother, it's when. It could be that maybe possibly the American troops in Iraq, through the Shiite militias, would do what they're saying they're going to do. There's a second possibility that is in our face as we speak. And here's another article in yesterday's Al-Monitor article entitled, Iran Soleimani sends message of defiance in calls to Hamas. And this is all over, brother, this recent declaration and in our face declaration of Trump's moving the embassy to Jerusalem. And who is coming up front and center to lead out in the rhetoric against Israel, against Jerusalem, and against this idea of moving the embassy? It is Iran. Front and center. Now, the article says this. For the first time ever, Major General Qassem Soleimani, the head of Iran's Quds force, and by the way, the word Quds is Arabic for Jerusalem. So the head of Iran's Jerusalem force called the leaders of the military wings of Hamas and the Palestinian Islamic Jihad to offer military support. And some saw this move as an Iranian message of defiance to the United States and Israel in response to Trump's decision. Now, he stated the Arab resistance movements, such as Hezbollah and other groups that entered the Syrian war, are prepared, listen, to defend Jerusalem and the Al-Aqsa Mosque. He expressed Iran's full support for the Palestinian resistance forces. This came just on the heels of the Hezbollah Secretary General Hassan Nasrallah urging the Axis of Resistance to develop a unified strategy to confront Israel. Hello? Anybody awake? In this, a statement by Hamas and Anaya described the U.S. decision as an act of discretion of aggression against the Palestinian people and the Islamic world, and the Iranian advisor to the former president Mahmoud Ahmadinejad and a professor of Palestinian studies said that this military action should the United States move its embassy to Jerusalem. And then it's declared the Jerusalem decision was not the first major mistake committed by Trump, but it is the most dangerous so far. And he describes it as a hostile act by the United States against not only Israel, but also toward the Muslims. And he says this: these contracts made by the prominent figures such as the Major General Soleimani prove the Iranian military presence in the region are going to carry several messages. Iran is ready to militarily defend its allies and will not content itself with political reactions from the United States. So what we find here, there could be a possibility here that through the Iranian proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, and by the way, Hamas has been shooting rockets into Israel. The last count was 10 since this thing has happened. And not only has Israel responded to this, but it has stirred up a hornet's nest, dear brother, which is leading somewhere. I believe the book of Daniel chapter 8 talks all about it. Now, here's another article. Iran, Trump's Jerusalem move will hasten Israel's destruction. This is out of the Jerusalem Post. It says here that Donald Trump's recognition of Jerusalem as Israel's capital will hasten the country's destruction, Iran defense minister said on Monday, while top Revolutionary Guards commander phoned two Palestinian armed groups and pledged support for them, saying this step, Trump's step, will hasten the destruction of the Zionist regime and will double the unity of Muslims. Now, then, an article out of Reuters, it says this: Iranians rally against Trump's Jerusalem move and burn U.S. flags. In this article out of Reuters, it says, state TV aired footage of marchers in Iran chanting death to America and death to Israel, holding up Palestinian flags and banners saying, Quds belongs to Muslims, Quds being Jerusalem, by the way, using Arabic name for the city. They burned effigies of Trump and of Netanyahu. And what is taking place, brother, is that right now this thing that's going on, Rouhani says, is wrong, illegitimate, provocative, and very dangerous. And Iran is taking lead in getting this army put together to confront Israel and to confront the issue of Jerusalem. What do you think about this, brother?
It really all sounds feasible. Look, right now, everything you're saying, they went in and took over the ISIS bases in Syria. They are totally gearing up, whether it's using Hezbollah or, you know, themselves in the area, gearing up for a war against Israel. And I do believe Durenik is sending it on. Go back to you.
Yes. And as we speak, Saudi Arabia just put out a video, I don't know if you've seen it yet, brother, about a war with Iran. Right now, they've targeted the capital of Saudi Arabia with a missile coming out of Yemen. And each time a missile comes out of Yemen with an Iranian stamp on it, Saudi Arabia gets madder and madder. And if it could very well start with a war between Saudi Arabia and Iran. And if you're listening and paying attention to the red grid there, brother, that could happen. We could wake up tomorrow and we could find that a war has started between those two particular entities. According to the prophecy, when they extend out into the different territories, and by the way, Iran is deeply entrenched in Syria and deeply entrenched in Iraq, and they're deeply entrenched in Yemen, and they have been messing with Bahrain. And Bahrain, by the way, in this Jerusalem declaration says, you know, this really isn't the issue here. The issue is this big bully, Iran. And as he's trying to say, you know, even though, you know, Jerusalem may be an issue to the Middle East, it's not the main issue. The main issue here is Iran. And so according to the prophecies, brother, one day, whatever this ram does, it's going to bring wrath and fury from the goat that comes across the surface of the whole earth, from the west, and with a great nation in its forehead. And what happens is it's going to take down, it's going to go to war with this ram. And when this ram and goat get into it, you're going to start counting the days, because in Daniel chapter 8, there is a 2300 evening morning prophecy. And out of this conflict will come forth a little horn who is going to come to the forefront, and he's going to wax great out of this. he's going to have a plan that's going to bring an offer of peace and prosperity to the world. And by that deceitful plan, and by the way, this is Daniel 8 at the end of this particular conflict, out of the breaking of the four horns will come forth out of one of the horns, a little horn, which will be extended influence to the glorious land, which he eventually is going to stand in Jerusalem. Now, if we don't understand this, if we keep this prophecy in history and keep it buried there, then we're not going to have a clue what's taking place right before our very eyes, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. And Iran is the biggest culprit. I mean, you know, it all points to Iran in the Middle East. That's where it's all coming about right now. All of that's true. They're trying to take over everything over there.
When this Senator war comes, Fritz, brother, there's a time prophecy to Daniel that are going to kick off. And we're going to really know the time of the end. There's a time, times, and a half a time. That's in Daniel chapter 7. When this great horn breaks, this great nation breaks, this great nation breaks. And by the way, you know, here we have a nation that's wanting to continue in war with people and bully people. When we're talking about shutting the government down this week. You know, we are at a severely taxed system, $20.5 trillion in debt. I was looking today at this, brother. $27 trillion in the red in Medicare alone. Over $109 trillion unsecured debt in this country, and we're threatening these countries with removing the dollar from them when we ourselves are talking about shutting our government down. At some point, this prophet sees this great horn breaking, and I think what's going to break this nation is this conflict between the ram and the goat. And when this goat breaks down the horns of the ram and leaves it powerless, this great horn will become even greater. Then all of a sudden, the prophet sees a great nation break, and it comes up four winds toward the four winds of heaven, and it's going to influence the whole world. And out of that will come forth a little horn with eyes speaking great things against God. And this will kick off the mark of the beast, which is coming in our near future, brother.
Well, amen. I don't know how eventually things play out, but people really need to listen to what you're saying. We are in that time of the end, and that's most assuredly Daniel's prophecy is for that time of the end. And so folks need to take heed. We only got about 2 minutes, so whatever you want to talk about your website, or you got
sure.
a finishing comment.
I would like to say just a little bit about the end result of Daniel. Even though the conflict comes, the four beasts raise up and they create a new world order, if you will, where at some point in time there will be a lockdown where you're going to have to succumb to this offer of peace and prosperity and give up your rights. And if you don't, you won't be able to buy or sell anything. But the bottom line is, you need to remain faithful and have a relationship with Yeshua today. There's no waiting on this thing, because one day, that when the call comes, behold, the bridegroom is coming, we're going to have to trim our lamps and have extra oil in our lamps. Noah, being warned of God, moved with fear, and when he did, he acted on it, and he prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Friends, we've got to do this now. There's no waiting. There's no. We can wake up tomorrow and find out that this goat ram war is in our face. And it's not a matter if; it's a short matter of when it's going to happen. So, get out of the religion, get in a relationship, get out of sin, as Pastor Dan says, and get involved with a solid praise and worship every day of our Creator, because Yeshua is coming. And one day, the saints are going to possess this kingdom, where a place where there'll be no pain, no sorrow, no crying. We're going home, and there'll be no more conflict, no more devil. And friends, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God, because we're getting ready to get in a big, huge fight.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, you need to give your website, so I need to say goodbye so I can say goodbye, please.
Yeah, brother, thank you for your opportunity to... let me share this, keep on alert. The website is SherwoodProphecy.org, and as I mentioned to you, brother, I will have that video out within the next month and have it online for you, okay?
All right, well, thanks. You be blessed, brother. Thanks for coming on. Short notice. All right, be blessed. Bye-bye. Well, folks, I do believe Daniel, the prophecies of Daniel are unfolding before our eyes. All I will say is like this. I'm not saying Steve's right or wrong. What I am telling you is we are supposed to check everything. He's got some really good points. You need to check them out. Put yourself in a Bible study. That's what it's all about. Don't listen to what I say. Don't listen to what Steve says. Do not listen to anything but your own study. You need to study and for yourself and confirm it with yourself. Prophecy is funny. Prophecy is going to happen. And so many times we never know how it will come out. Pray about supporting Wichita Mission Church. Remember, there is only one God. He is your Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His Son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins and rose after 3 days and three nights in the earth. Through him and only through him is the way to the Father. This I know for sure. Absolutely. Remember, always, always, always be a blessing to others. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. That's like praying for Yeshua's return. In the meantime, Lord our God, Father, King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name, Father, that you would bless and keep them and that your face would shine upon them and that you would be gracious to them and give them peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time from Messiah's Branch.